This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Prayer is the greatest privilege that we have. It's not an obligation. It's not a duty. I mean, my goodness, I have to pray. Well, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray. Well, that should always be our first line of defense. Well, thank you for joining us today on Enjoying Everyday Life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." Today, I want to talk to you about something that I would say is a foundation of our faith. I simply want to talk to you about the power that is in the name of Jesus, because I think it's something that we can forget. And, you know, it becomes very easy to form a habit of tacking that line "in Jesus' name" onto the back end of every prayer that we pray. But we really need to realize the power that's in that name and release our faith at the same time that we use the name. The Bible teaches us that there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm fond of the word power because there's never been anything in me that wanted to be weak or wimpy. I just like powerful stuff. If you're going to do it, then do it powerfully. There's power for times of crisis. There's power to heal the sick in Jesus' name. Power to cast out demons. There's salvation in His name, and there is salvation in no other name. All the power of the Godhead has been invested in the name of Jesus, and it has been given unto us. So why then do we frequently see so little power manifested in our daily lives? Certainly not because the name is powerless, but perhaps because we lack faith in His name. So, good news, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God." So, what that means to me is, whatever you hear the Word on, there's faith on that message that will raise your faith in that subject if you really pay attention. So therefore, it's valuable to teach things like this, even though we may think, well, that's no brand new news, because we need to really be sure that we understand what we're doing when we say, "in the name of Jesus." First of all, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, one of the ones at the very top is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, believers and unbelievers alike do take the Lord's name in vain. And taking the Lord's name in vain is a lot more than just connecting it with a curse word. I hear Christians all the time say things like, "Oh my God. My God, what do you think you're doing? My God, look at that." And they're really not calling on God for anything. It's just something we throw around. And actually, if you look at what it means to take the Lord's name in vain, it means to use it lightly or frivolously. And so we want to make sure that we respect the name enough that we don't just use it in a way that has no meaning. It's interesting to me, avowed atheists that are, say, actors or actresses, they throw God's name around all the time. It's kind of interesting that they're throwing somebody's name around all the time that they don't believe in. Well, if you don't believe He exists, then stop talking about Him. Amen? So, I think those are things that we need to try to avoid. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you say, "Oh my God," you know, when something happens, that doesn't mean that you're going to get a spanking from God and He's not going to help you the next time you have problems. But we do need to form a habit of making sure that we realize that there's power in that name. And so I think if you misuse it in your daily life, and then you try to use it in a powerful way when you have a need, I think there could be a little bit of conflict there. So just pray about that and be a little more careful about it. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up serpents with their hands." And you're thinking, wait a minute. Demons, serpents, what? What are you talking about? Well, let's just say, for the sake of making it simple, if you read this scripture, you can say, there's enough power in the name of Jesus to protect me in any kind of dangerous or tragic situation, if I understand that. Now, Jesus did cast out demons, and I know we don't have really hardly any teaching on that today, but you do have the authority to bind Satan in Jesus' name, and probably need to do so more often than we realize. And as far as like, you can be healed in Jesus' name, you know, we've got a lot of medical technology available to us, and thank God for doctors and thank God for medicine, but I wouldn't do any of that without asking God to heal me first. Because honestly, I don't think anybody has enough brilliance to know how to treat you if God doesn't speak to them. And I think he even can speak to people that don't know they're being spoken to by God. And so when the doctors run out of answers, don't forget that Jesus is our healer. He doesn't just heal, but he's our healer. And but something that I want to say about this scripture that I just picked up is it doesn't necessarily say those who believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead will have these things happen to them, these powerful things. I believe it means that those who believe that there's power in that name to cast out devils, to heal the sick, those signs will accompany them. There are millions of people who believe in God, who've received Christ as their Savior, who have never one time prayed for the sick, cast out a demon. They don't really understand how powerful that name is. And I didn't either for a long, long time. Prayer is the greatest privilege that we have. It's not an obligation. It's not a duty. I mean, my goodness, I have to pray. Well, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray. Well, that should always be our first line of defense. Why fight with something yourself when you can invite God into the situation and have his divine help? But I want you to really listen to these scriptures about prayer and the power that is in a prayer that is prayed in Jesus' name. John 14, 12 through 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." I used to read that and think, how could anybody do greater works than Jesus did? But do you know that probably almost every Bible teacher or pastor or preacher on the planet reaches more people now every day of their life than Jesus did in his 3-year ministry? You know why Jesus said, "It's good for you that I go away"? Because I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in my place to represent me. And you know why that's good? Jesus was in a body just like this. He can only be one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be in and with each and every one of us. And so the body of Christ as a whole is doing greater works because of the power that's in that name of Jesus. So he's basically saying, you're better off to have my name and to have me here with you, walking around the hills and fishing and teaching you a few things. "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." What? whatever. Now, I think we obviously understand that what we ask needs to be within God's will. Now, there are some things that the Bible doesn't cover, but the spirit of everything is covered. Should I buy that car? Well, you can't find a scripture that tells you yes or no, but you can ask yourself just a handful of questions. Can I afford that car? Do I really need that car, or am I just having an emotional moment? Do I want to make payments on that car for 7 years? You know, it doesn't take the Spirit of God will give us wisdom to know what to do in every situation. And if nothing else, the Bible says follow peace. Let peace be your umpire. And so if you don't follow peace, if you do things that you kind of just don't, you just kind of got a little check about, you know, it's never going to end up good. It just won't. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name. Now, I'm not rereading the same scripture over and over. These are John 14, 12, 13, and 14. So in every verse, he repeats himself. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will be able to do the things that I do, and even greater things than these will he do, because I go to my Father. All right, now listen to this. And I love the Amplified Bible. I love to use it in many instances because it brings out things that I just don't think we get otherwise. And I myself will do, I will grant whatever you ask in my name, in parentheses, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, that is, as presenting all that I am. So see, when we use the name of Jesus, when we go to the Father in prayer, and the Bible says you pray to the Father in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. So when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm not asking God to do this for me because I deserve it. Because I really don't deserve anything. I don't deserve for God to help me. I don't deserve for God to bless me. You know, I'm a pretty okay person. I got a few things, you know, going for me. But with God, if you sin at all, then that, if what we get from God is based on what we do right or wrong, then none of us are ever going to get anything. Thank God I don't pray in Joyce's name. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you're saying, I'm asking you to answer this prayer. Or let's even go a step further. I'm expecting you to answer this prayer. But I'm not asking you because I think I deserve it. I'm asking you to do it because of what Jesus did for me and because I believe that. So let's be sure when we pray that our dependence is not in the eloquence of our prayer. Whether or not we know all the right these and thous, and if our posture is correct, and so on and so forth. I mean, the simplest prayer is powerful if it's prayed in Jesus' name. Because when we pray in His name, we're presenting all that He is. Now, Paul prayed some things for the church that I have always found interesting. He never prayed for their problems to go away. He prayed for them to be able to endure whatever came with good temper. Yes. No, Paul, I don't want you to pray that. I don't want to have the problem. Erase that prayer and pray for me not to have the problem. There's nowhere in the Bible that we're promised a trouble-free life. If that's what you're looking for, you're on the wrong plan. Because if the devil's not bothering you, then probably you're not bothering him. And that's not a very good equation. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it puts us in a whole different position. So Paul prayed these prayers, and this is one of the things that he prayed. I pray that you will understand what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. What? The power that we have can't even be measured. What's impossible with man is possible with God. All things are possible in that name. But here again, you know, faith is an interesting, rather elusive thing. You can't see it. It's something that functions in the spiritual realm, and if it's used properly, you can see the results of it, but you can't see faith. It is a force that is on the inside of every believer, because the Bible says, unto every man is given the measure of faith. So you have faith. There's no doubt about that. But faith has to be released. Just to have faith is not good enough. You have to use your faith. And it's a force that comes out of your spirit. So I say that we release our faith by praying, by saying, and by doing. You get that? Pray, say, do. Any of those things releases your faith. For many, many years, I did not know about this power. And I was a committed Christian. And I think that is sad. And it concerns me that so many people go to church week in and week out, and they've heard nothing about the power that's theirs in Jesus' name. We may hear that God is powerful, but you are powerful. In Luke 10:19, the Bible says, "Behold, I have given you power." Not I will give you, I have given you power and authority over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So guess what? The devil has power, we have power, but in that scripture we have authority. It doesn't say anything about the devil having authority. The only authority he has is what we let him have through our lack of knowledge or our unwillingness to do what God tells us to do. Do I need to say that again? You have power. So don't go around saying all the time, "I can't. It's too hard." We carry God's anointing, and that's the presence and the power of God. It's on our life. It's in our life. And I always say we're anointed for hard. We don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to do nothing. We don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to never have to confront anything or deal with anything. And I just think that every once in a while we need to hear a good message about, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ. And actually that scripture in Philippians is talking about, Paul was saying, I can get by with plenty, but I can also get by with very little. So he wasn't even really talking about, I can just do anything I want to do through Christ. But he's talking about whatever God wants me to do, whatever situation he wants me to be in, or whatever he wants my circumstances to be right now, I can do that through him. I don't have to just be happy when my circumstances are happy and down when they're down. I can have the joy of the Lord all the time if I really want to. I'm not saying I do, but I can. It's available, and it's really up to me, because the joy of the Lord is not based on circumstances. Power is available to those who believe. Prayer should always be our first line of defense. I'm very fond of Philippians 4:6, and I have to quote it real often because I can find myself getting anxious about something or worrying about something. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. So the minute that you start to worry, make an exchange. Give God the worry and let him give you his peace. The Bible says that we're to cast our care on God and he'll take care of us. Well, the word cast means to pitch or throw. So when you start to worry about one of your kids, or you start to worry about your future, or you start to worry about Am I going to lose my job? Or whatever it is we find to worry about. The minute that you realize that you're worrying, you say, no. God, I cast this problem on you. I give it to you. And I receive your grace. I believe in Jesus' name that you are taking care of this problem and I am not going to worry about it. You know what? Do a little talking out loud. Yes. Get in a room by yourself somewhere and just let loose. Yes. Devil, you may knock me down, but you're not going to keep me down. Yes. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again. I'm anointed for hard. I mean, there's apparently power in this name. In Acts 3, 1 through 7, it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from his birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that's called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked if they would give him some money. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. So they looked at him, and this is what they said, look at us. Interesting phrase. They knew they had what the man needed. So they said, look at us. And then he said, the man fixed his attention on them, hoping to receive something from them. And Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, that I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And in verse 16 of Acts 3, it says, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. See, once again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I can promise you that at least for a while after hearing this today, when you say the name of Jesus, when you pray, it's going to affect you differently. But then you might have to hear it again, and then again, and again. No wonder Paul said, I never get tired of telling you the same things over and over. We can expect healing in Jesus' name. A little story I heard that really I thought was wonderful was this woman told a story about how she was making a turn at a four-way intersection and her child fell out of the car. His door apparently wasn't locked properly or something, and I guess that was back before seat belts, and so he rolled out into the street. And it was a four-way intersection. All the woman could do was just say, Jesus. She didn't have time for a prayer. That was all she could say. And there was a motorist coming straight at the child who testified that although his car stopped short of hitting the child, he said, the thing you don't understand is I never had time to put my foot on the brakes. Miracles still do happen. Don't ever think when something amazing happens in your life that you're lucky. I hate that. We hear that all the time on television. No, you're just so lucky. No, you're blessed if you're God's child. Amen? And it shall come to pass, Acts 2:21, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so for those of you watching right now that have not received Christ as your Savior, I feel there's enough faith here right now that if you will just say, Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. I turn away from sin. I receive you now. You know, there's a number on your screen, and if you'd like somebody to pray with you about receiving Christ, you call that number, and they'll be glad to talk with you and answer your questions and pray with you. And then we'll send you a book as a gift from our ministry that talks about how to get your new life with Christ started out the right way. There's power in the name of Jesus. Now, today we're offering you something that it's a book that I wrote a long time ago that was originally entitled the Word, the name, and the blood. But, you know, we're more modern today, and so people weren't buying the book. So we renamed it God's Greatest Gifts. Oh boy, if we think we can get a hold of a book that's going to give us something, woo, got to have a promise. But there's power in the Word of God. If you've spent 25 minutes watching this TV program, you have not wasted your time. You know why? Because the words that we've spoken have been powerful coming into your life. There's power in the Word, there's power in the name, and there's power in the blood of Jesus. And today, if you purchase this book, you can get it for your gift to the ministry of any amount. And what you give today is going to go, it's going to be set aside just to help pay TV bills. So if you enjoy the program that you watch, how about stepping up and helping us pay for it? And also, help us reach out into new places. Now you have a great day. Thank you. Just to have some honest, open discussion with friends.
You're part of this group too, so yeah, there's something for everyone.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joyce.
We never laugh.
Not us at all.
Just give me a call and we'll talk it out.
Check out Joyce's newest podcast and talk it out. JoyceMeyer.org/talkitout.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.
You know, every time you have an opportunity to give into someone else's life, do it. Because it not only changes their life, but it's an amazing thing for you too. And we have such great opportunities through our Classrooms of Hope to help little guys like this who are going to make a big impact on the world one day.
Classrooms of Hope has just gained so much momentum, and we're really seeing it growing. Here in South Africa, we've already moved from the Eastern Cape over to KwaZulu-Natal. This really is something that we can install into a community that can add long-term impact in the lives of those children, but opens up the door of the community for us to share the gospel and really stands as a witness, as a shining light into the community about the love of Christ.
You pick up that phone, you go to JoyceMeyer.org, and your special gift today will change lives. And right now, you have the opportunity to designate that gift to where you would like it to go. So if you would like it to go to education, then you can do that right now and help with these Classrooms of Hope. If you would prefer that it go to water, you can do that, or medical care. It's your choice. Just go to the website, JoyceMeyer.org, and check it out.
For more information, visit JoyceMeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.